Hello and welcome in to Comic Connoisseur. And I'll be talking about the new Marvel Disney Plus announcements. Of course, I'm my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Hello.
Also with us is Red Ink.
Hello there.
Yes. Well, hello there. Anyways, let's talk about these announcements. First thing I have to say is there's lots of weird false rumors going out that about actors being signed on, actors supposedly signed on, the actors themselves saying, nope, never even talked to anybody. It's really hard to sift through things because when even, and I say this with heavy finger quotes, reputable news sources in the entertainment industry are reporting things, you can't take it at face value because most of these places reference themselves and each other as source citations, and that's not good, just as an aside. So let's talk about the first stuff that is actually, like, confirmed. So the second trailer for WandaVision dropped in, and it's weird and zany, and it feels like someone trying to, like, do something as a deconstruction slash love letter to old sitcoms plus...
I think that's part of it.
They're copying a comic called Vision.
The Visions.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's not 100% copy. It's
no, of course not.
Heavily Wanda, influenced by.
Yeah, it's also Wanda going fucking crazy as Wanda tends to do.
Yes. So Little House of M, Little House of The Visions, and little 60s, 70s. Sitcom action.
Well, I mean that when I saw the first trailer and saw they were doing that, I was like, well, you use that as a framing device to examine, you know, the relationship between Wanda and Vision. I thought that was kind of, you know, inspired. It's why not? You have some fun with it. I mean, you got I Love Lucy, the Brady Bunch, Family Ties from the 80s one, you got Modern Family, stuff like that. And some of the dialogue that you see in both trailers with Wanda and Vision, it's like the one thing I love, the fact that they got Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany back, because I think they have a lot of great chemistry together. And you see that with their performance, like in that dialogue.
Paul Bettany looks so fucking weird because they didn't give him a full body fucking costume. They just put the Vision makeup on his face. So they didn't make him look buff. They didn't give any styrofoam to make him look buff. So he has a skinny little body and this gigantic fucking head. He looks like a fucking matchstick.
It's the same terrible body he had in Age of Ultron.
He's wearing a muscle suit in Age of Ultron.
Yes. Paul Bettany is extremely fucking tall and thin.
It's not like the muscle suit that what's his name was wearing for Shazam, but it is still a muscle suit.
Yeah. Well, I've seen him enough times. I think that maybe there was some padding, but that was mostly him. But no, I like that the setup. I forget the name of that actress with the nose that shows up dressed as a witch a lot. Apparently, that's supposed to be Agatha Harkness. So they're folding in, like, you know, Wanda's mentor from the comics. And the black actress is supposed to be Monica Rambeau, so like the grown-up little girl from the Captain Marvel movies, you know, laying back to that, and this is going to lead into, you know, Multiverse of Madness.
That's
from
a mistake.
What I can put together, it looks like Wanda has somehow taken over a town and is changing it, because they're bringing in the army and stuff to stop her.
Well, I saw that, and I read one description is, or at least one description and a lot of fan inferences was that this is something that's set up to contain Wanda, and that she's generally, because it goes to the whole her chaos magic, her reality warping powers, that, you know, they've got this perimeter locked around her, and there are people, just she's created people, or there are people trapped inside. Like, we don't know what's going on just yet. Suffice to say, shit's going south.
I also can't help but feel like the premise itself of a suburban, idyllic suburban neighborhood where people are trapped sounds very similar to an idea or a comic I've read that Marvel did a couple of years back about S.H.I.E.L.D. doing this with villains, like they mind wipe the villains and they put them in this idyllic town and they think that they're the milkman or the
Pleasant Hill.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody obviously watched
I think
the Truman Show.
Yes. There's elements of that. There's elements of I remember it was called Pleasant Hill, which led to the whole Hydra cap thing. Honestly, that there are elements in there. I think the broadest strokes in this story are borrowing a lot more from something like the Stepford Wives. And that idea of like somebody, maybe Wanda, maybe the ultimate villain of this story, once we see the show, has got this idea of perfection that, you know, that's what they're working towards here.
And I didn't see him in the trailer, but I suspect that it's Baron Mordo.
Now, here's a question. Do we know how many episodes WandaVision is or any of these series are?
I think it's 6 episodes from what I've heard.
Okay, so this is gonna be almost the same runtime as a long theatrical movie, just cut up into episodes. And I'm not saying that to say that they actually filmed the movie. I understand that they filmed this with contained episodes that tell a singular story. So don't take me saying it that way. I just don't see this as being that great. I'm just not excited about WandaVision.
No. I've always said, since Disney Plus first announced these fucking shows, is that they're a way to burn out the actors' contracts.
Yeah.
Oh, we have 2 more movies to do with you? Okay, we'll do 2 TV series. We'll pay you the same amount.
Yeah. So, I just don't know if it's something that will make me want to pay for Disney Plus, so I'm not going to, for WandaVision. It sounds like it's something that would be an interesting graphic novel, maybe not one I would buy, but one I would flip through, but not something that I would actually pay a subscription for. Let's talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I love that first line that Anthony Mackie says in the new trailer, that this is a complicated thing. And I was like, it should be. It's one man representing the ideals of a nation, and unfortunately that man is not Chris Evans.
Well, from what I can see, they have the U.S. agent. It's a couple of frames, but I can see a guy dressed kind of like fucking Captain America.
No, it is U.S. agent, right? I read an interview with Feige where they were specifically talking about that, and they're taking elements from the Sam Wilson Captain America title, how there's like a bunch of businessmen like, well, he's not my Captain America, and they're launching this like full blitz media campaign that's designed at like shaming Sam Wilson into giving the shield back.
It sounds like an Orange Man bad series.
Well,
I really don't want to watch another one.
I mean, that's going to be in there regardless, because many people in the States don't like the president.
Well, that sounds like a knee-jerk overreaction of something they couldn't get over for 4 fucking years. Like, and the problem is, this same people will be like, well, can't you get over this now? It's over. Get over this within 2 weeks.
Sometimes I wish I could be, like, you know how the ending of Bill and Ted, if you watched Bill and Ted 3?
Yes.
Bill and Ted actually split off and they become like infinite Bill and Teds, and they're able to occupy every space at once and give everybody a fucking musical sheet and all that shit. I wish I could do that to America and be able to unanimously shake every fucking person and go, the President of the United States has been a fucking figurehead since the 1950s. He does not have any fucking power whatsoever. It's the people behind the fucking scenes that have all the power. And no matter who you vote for, they're never fucking fired.
And that is very true. Now, the comic book, sure, that, you know, President Orange Cheeto bad, and some of that might get in here at some point. But that was the comic. I don't think they're going for that too hard in here, although that's...
I think they're going to go super
first
hard.
First of all, we haven't seen the show yet, so how about we watch it before we start judging what the story's about? I'm just saying that's going to be in there. I don't think it's going to be an overriding... or the main thing. It's dealing with Sam and Bucky dealing with the legacy of Steve Rogers.
That's part of it, yes. But like I said, I can see Orange Man bad, and that spoils the whole fucking
the pot
show. The pot, yep. Yes.
You don't know that that's going to be a major thing, Red.
I'm betting you it is.
And I'm betting you it's not.
Well, we're going to find out. Let's. I have to say that I do like Sebastian Stan as an actor. I just feel like he's going to be constantly overshadowed by Anthony Mackie in this. I feel like this is more like Falcon and Winter Soldier is how they're going to write this.
That's okay. Like, Anthony Mackie is an okay actor. When it comes to acting skills, I can't complain, but I can't stand looking at the guy because there was a Biggie Smalls movie and they hired Anthony Mackie to play Tupac. And they hired him because he looks like a fucked up version of Tupac.
My eyes aren't too far apart.
That's... Which movie was that?
Notorious.
Well, the problem I have with that is I'd say that they both have an equal amount of relationship. I'm saying that very generously because if you really press me, I say Bucky has a bigger relationship with Cap than Falcon does. So the fact that they aren't exploring Bucky now, like,
well,
deprogrammed in this stranger in a strange world, just like Cap is, but now he's alone having to deal with it.
Ben, if I were to tell you one of your friends is more important than the other, how the fuck would that make you feel?
Point taken.
You'd want to slap me. You'd tell me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, point taken.
Although, Ben isn't completely wrong in that, because within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Steve Rogers doesn't have the storied history with Sam, the what he did with Bucky. So,
but
you're moving along to the big one, or at least the one series that I am wholeheartedly looking for, the Loki series. I'm sorry. I really don't care if this is a bad series or if it is the greatest of all three.
Wow.
Yes. Okay, one negative thing. I did not need that Wilson in here. I'm sorry. No.
Wilson's an okay actor. Sometimes I feel sorry for the guy. Like, he suffers from actual fucking chronic depression. And people are so hard on me, dude.
I just feel like this is them being like, Marvel discovered gold by getting Tom Hiddleston as Loki, and I feel like they're trying to dig deeper and deeper in the mine, and all this is just highlighting Tom Hiddleston being more Loki, and...
That's a bad thing?
I think it's going to wear down really quickly, because it's like, let's say I like fried chicken. You shouldn't eat fried chicken every day, every meal of the day. And it feels like the Loki series is, let's have more fried chicken every day, every meal of the day.
That's what all these series, that's what a TV series is. That's what all these series are. Is there a bag of potato chips? They're not a fancy dessert where you take your time, you taste everything, and you slowly run it through your mouth. It's a bag of fucking chips. You just shove your fucking hand in. You shove the chips in your fucking mouth as hard as you can. You crunch them down. You grab a fucking bottle of Mountain Dew and you do your best to fucking swallow that mess.
Yeah. I love some of the greater Marvel cosmology that's involved here. You know, we got the Time Variance Authority. We've got the, I forget what they call, like, those three, you know, alien looking dudes that are, like, behind the TVA. We even got.
Look like this, Rick? Living Tribunal to me.
No, Living Tribunal's like the specter of the Marvel Universe in a lot of respects. There's these three bug-eyed alien-looking dudes who are, you know, the power behind the TVA and Immortus, you know, Master of Time. I did love two things. They're directly referencing the Marvel comic from four years ago where Loki attempted to run for president. And just seeing Tom Hiddleston in that getup was nice. And the fact that they turned Loki into D.B. Cooper.
I saw that too. And again, it feels like they're shotgunning Loki ideas. What can we do with Loki?
But turning him into D.B. Cooper is weird because they found some of his money.
Yeah.
And they found his fucking parachute.
Yeah.
And just never found his body because probably fucking wolves ate it.
Well, yeah, it's just, I thought that I personally was like, hey,
think,
that's cool.
I personally think he got away with it, and a lot of the hints pointed that he could have been a, he could have actually been from Canada, so.
People aren't fucking dreaming.
You just gotta blame Canada for everything, don't you? Ben, sorry.
Well, you want me to start singing the song?
No.
Okay. That's just an aside. I just feel like, again, sort of like WandaVision, this is a, let's just throw spaghetti on the wall of every random weird idea we have. No holds barred, no editorial oversight of, no, this is stupid, we have to keep something cohesive. Just, I think that's what Loki is. And I feel like, again, I'm still not feeling tempted to get a Disney Plus subscription from that.
I can tell what Loki is. It's going to be an episode by episode, small storyline with a major theme in the background.
So it's going to be like Doctor Who, but with Loki.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Correction. It'll be like modern Doctor Who, but with Loki.
No.
Well, not modern, but yeah, I mean like Moffat.
I'm not looking forward to Loki, but don't and fucking salt it like that, Ben.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's not even dog shit. That's a smear of dog shit that you can't get off the fucking sidewalk is what modern Doctor Who is.
I meant Moffat Doctor Who, where basically each episode is, quote, self-contained, but there's an underlying theme of the crack in the wall or some other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the crack in the wall thing wasn't that bad, but I think I said it wasn't that bad. I didn't say it was the best. But I think the backstory of the Loki is it's going to be framed with Owen Wilson going over Loki's file with him and Loki telling him these stories, you know, where he ran for president or, you know, he was D.B. Cooper, whatever else the handful of episodes will be about. I mean, it's Tom Hiddleston as Loki and I'll take what I can get. They also have they announced the Hawkeye show, which I like the Matt Fraction Hawkeyes from like a few years ago where, you know, he takes over as like the landlord of this apartment building and, you know, he is a legitimate Avenger and a hero, but everyone just treats him like shit. And they're bringing in, what's Kate's last name from Young Avengers, Ben?
Bishop.
You know, we're going to have Pizza Dog. We're going to have the tracksuit Draculas. You know, there's going to be a lot of that in there.
The problem with that Hawkeye series that you like, that wasn't Hawkeye. Hawkeye has a loud mouth. He doesn't take shit from anyone. One of his most famous lines is, talk all you want. As long as you have the fucking skills to back it up, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
But see, that's supposing that a character can't change or another interpretation is welcome, Red.
There's nothing wrong with a character changing, but when you take a character that's established, he has an idea, personality, stuff like that, and then you just throw all that away, hollow him out, put your own personality and start a brand new fucking comic, that's dumb.
Well, as much as I'd like to sit here and argue about Hawkeye's history and why it's a logical sense to be there, we're also getting a What If animated series, and I will brook no arguments against that. I am going to love that show.
Well, I'm not a fan of this.
Oh, what a surprise. I'm kidding, Ben, please. What are your thoughts on What If?
I am, first of all, I'm not a fan of this CGI animation style that they're using. It looks way too
smooth.
Well, way too smooth, way too surgical. There's no love in it. There's no life in it. Number two, it feels like they just have a couple of ideas that are just, you know, they have like three or four ideas that they want to run really quickly based off of What If series that already ran.
One of the big problems that they have is it's CGI.
Yeah.
CGI takes a long time.
Yeah.
And they pretty much only showed us three episodes of an 8-episode series because that's all the B footage they had.
Yeah, that's all they have. That's all the sizzle they have. I would be surprised shocked if they have two complete episodes right now. I think that they're still getting them delivered. The other thing is there's some creative decisions here that I think look really weird, like the Peggy Carter Cap story. They gave her fucking giant ass shoulders in that. It's like she's bigger than fucking China.
Well, of course, because she's on super steroids. Where the fuck do you think the fucking super soldier serum is? It's pure fucking roids refined down to the fucking goddamn atom to be the perfect fucking steroid.
Okay.
Winners don't do drugs, people. Remember Captain America saying that on his fucking, in his video game? I always remember going to the arcade back in the 90s and you'd hear Captain America, winners don't do drugs.
Except for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like some of the stories. Like, What If is legitimately in my top five all-time favorite Marvel titles. I love alternate world stories of established characters like this. And you know, we got some, and all these stories are more or less based on Marvel comics or stuff from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, we have Marvel Zombies, obviously, where, you know, Bucky's going to be, like, beheading a zombie Cap. We've got What If T'Challa was Star-Lord, you know, got What If Peggy Carter took the soldier, super soldier serum. And from what I've read and kind of inferred from this trailer, the framing device they're using in the show is Nick Fury, and they're getting Sam Jackson back to voice him, is visited by Uatu the Watcher, who I believe is voiced by Jeffrey Wright. Those that aren't familiar with him from, like, he's the, God, he's, I can't remember the character.
He's a popular guy at the moment.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be the new Commissioner Gordon, I think.
In my opinion, that is the wrong choice for Uatu. Like, I would have hired Jeffrey Noble, like the guy who played Denethor in fucking Lord of the Rings. That is what I imagine Uatu sounds like.
Oh, that's the guy that played Walter on Fringe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, John Noble.
John Noble, yeah.
Yeah, no, that would be a hell of a thing. I do. I mean, what we heard, Jeffrey Wright sounds like he'll do all right. And this is just me. I mean, I love What If. So when I hear Uatu doing his spiel at the end, it's like, come on, say the title of the series, say the title of the series. And I threw my hands in the air and I gave a little hoot when he said What If, because I'm that kind of a nerd.
So What If is six total episodes, correct?
I think it's six or eight. I haven't been able to find any concrete on that.
Officially, Disney has not announced how many episodes in any of these series are. People are going by The Mandalorian.
Ah.
So,
that's The Mandalorian a mistake.
Is usually eight episodes per season so far.
According to the, like, the big Wikipedia article, What If is expected to debut mid-2021. Will consist of 10 episodes, and they're already commissioning a second season of another 10 episodes.
Until Disney announces how many episodes, I'm not going to believe that wiki. Like, people, anybody can edit fucking Wikipedia. So.
And again, the media has been posting false news and false casting for the last 6 months on Marvel's Disney Plus series, and have been citing each other as proof, and then actors have outright said, I wasn't negotiating anything. So
that's it. You're talking about She-Hulk.
Yeah.
How they announced that that Canadian actress was going to play Jen Walters, and then she went on Twitter and was like, nobody even talked to me about this role. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. But that was quote, confirmed.
Yeah.
By several news sites, and they all cited each other. And that just shows the Achilles heel of the modern news cycle, but that's another topic. So we do know for sure that Miss Marvel is announced, and it looks like they hastily filmed just enough B-roll to get a trailer going.
Oh my god.
There wasn't even a trailer. That at best, that was a sizzle reel to sell the series. I don't know why people are calling that a trailer. It gives you nothing of the story. We meet the actress who's going to be playing Kamala, I said Makala for some reason. You know, you see her with what I guess is Bruno from the comics, and with a mock-up of a costume. I do want to see this series.
He's not brown enough.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody's going to bitch about that. And you know what? If they there's another series starring a young woman of a certain ethnicity, which is not my own, Ironheart.
Has that actually been confirmed?
That has not been announced. That is one of the rumors.
Yeah, I was about to say. Show me Kevin actually saying Ironheart.
It's in that whole online video of Feig saying, like, they got Ironheart is supposed to be coming out.
Are you
when
sure?
It actually comes out? Yes, I'm quite sure.
Because I'm reading people saying Dominique Thorne, but again, I'm feeling like this could be another She-Hulk instance where people are trying to jump the gun and get ahead of a story before it even breaks.
Just because Kevin Feige said he's interested in doing it doesn't mean that it's announced.
He announced it at the con. Like, I watched that video of him, you know, bringing out, says, we're working on this, we're working on this. It's an announcement. It's not a confirmation of when the series is coming out, but they did announce that they're going to be pursuing a Ironheart Disney Plus series.
Okay, so that's going to be the next Captain Marvel. Nobody's going to fucking watch it.
The other thing to keep in mind with these announcements is every time they make these announcements, let me just put it this way. The last two big Marvel Disney Plus announcements, they shotgunned a litany of series and movies. And a lot of them are currently in development hell. The Ten Rings is in the development hell right now. It's
the only thing they announced about the Ten Rings is the Shang-Chi movie, and that's pretty much done filming.
Are you sure? Because last I heard, it's in development hell.
No. Simu Liu, the actor from the Canadian sitcom Kim's Convenience, put out that they're pretty much done shooting and are moving ahead with post-production.
All right. Again, I feel like until there's an actual announcement of here's the director, here's the episode count, here's an actual sizzle reel or even a trailer, you know, don't count these as done yet, because the other thing go ahead, Red.
The other thing is, I wouldn't look forward to any of the movies coming out anytime soon, because Warner Brothers, AT&T, whatever the fuck you want to call it, they had to swallow a heavy fucking bunch of crow and put the fucking their movies on HBO because they're sitting in fucking hell.
Yeah.
In developmental hell, as Ben said. Disney hasn't made that decision yet. So it could be another year before we see these movies.
Yeah. And I mean, they announce stuff. It's whether or not a lot of this stuff is announced. I mean, I've seen like three stills from the Hawkeye show, so I know at least that's happening. You know, whether they hit that fall 2021 announcement.
We've seen what Disney's strategy was with releasing theatrical movies on Disney Plus with Mulan, where they said, oh, you need a $15 subscription. Oh, and by the way, you need to rent the movie for $30 to rent it for 2 days.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there right now.
I'm just saying that all these movies that the Marvel has, I'm not hopeful for a good theatrical run.
Yeah, but again, we're just talking about the announcements, Ben. They only released one major movie on Disney Plus like that, and it kind of blew up in their face. Most of this stuff was just announced or is partway along. We can't really begin to think how this is going to be affect. I mean, the Warner Brothers thing, as Red brought up, was, you know, I'm looking forward to that, you know, because, yeah, I'm not going to feel comfortable for at least probably another year until I got the vaccine in me and all that before I'm going to feel comfortable going out to the theater again. And I really want to go see some of these movies in the theaters, like Godzilla versus Kong, because I want my retinas to be singed and my eardrums to be partially deafened while watching that movie. That's the sort of thing I want to see in theaters. But, you know, we're not going to get that for a good long while. And Warner Brothers is the only film studio that's really able to do something like this. And they're already taking massive amounts of shit, mostly from Chris Nolan, because he's a big crybaby.
What if I were to tell you that movie theaters are open in Canada?
Yeah, well, that too, right? I'm just saying Nolan...
I don't think there's anything wrong with what Nolan said about the fact that he tries to make movies meant for a theatrical experience. I think that's totally true because of the way he composites shots and stuff like that. It's meant to be in a dark, large theater. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with what he said. He could have said it in a... He said it in a very petulant way. I totally agree with that. But there's... I mean, he isn't making stuff for TV. That's obvious.
And I'm not saying he should be making stuff for TV. And I agree with a lot of what he said. But the fact is, a lot of that is drowning in sour grapes because, you know, he busted his ass in the very, not even the middle of the pandemic, but, you know, in the square in the middle of the pandemic where everyone, you know, nobody feels safe going out. He was telling people, he's like, he's putting this, spent all this money to make this movie, put it in the theaters, and he wanted it to be a success. Sure. Probably should have held off on that, Chris, is what I'm saying, because no one was going out at the time
he put that in the theaters. He didn't have a final decision on the theatrical release, though. It's like directors rarely have that much control of a movie after they finish saying cut.
Well, I certainly didn't hear him complaining about putting a film out in theaters and expose. Anyway, back to Marvel.
All right. So a couple of other series or specials or what have you. Secret Invasion's on this list, and I haven't heard anything to confirm this. Go ahead, Red.
See, to me, the announcement of Secret Invasion sounds made up. Sounds stupid, because they've already established that in Captain Marvel, the fucking Skrulls are good guys.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
They're talk about working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Talk about tonal shift.
Yes, because every Skrull across the totality of the universe were the good guys, and that, only the good Skrulls were on that space station.
That was the message of the movie, yes.
Did they say every Skrull was there? That they were all good guys.
They made it clear that their race was pretty much decimated by the Kree, and all that was left was on the space station, and they're refugees looking to find a new home. What movie were you watching?
They were space Indians. All right. That ship was their reservation.
I don't think that every Skrull that.
There was dialogue that they were pretty much decimated.
They say definitively, 100%, there is absolutely no room for maneuvering whatsoever, that every Skrull was on that station. They were good guys. You can't tell me that there weren't like a contingent of Kree who were against the war. No, every Kree was looking to annihilate the Skrulls in the comics, for God's sake.
To play devil's advocate and agree with JT somewhat.
Oh, God.
You can use the fucking Empire fucking reason. That goddamn series that nobody fucking read. They explain that there's a religious sect of Skrull that believed that Earth was their home. It wasn't every Skrull.
Not every Skrull.
Even though, what you call it, the Super Skrull was part of the religious sect, but suddenly he's not, for convenience sake.
I'm just saying, with the Skrulls, not every Skrull is going to be a good guy. And how do we know that Talos isn't running a long con on Nick Fury?
They made I said this before when we talked about Captain Marvel. They went through a heavy-handed amount of redeeming Talos' character in the third act of Captain Marvel to the point where he had him joking about replacing Nick Fury's boss. Like, I like being your boss. It's fun. And it's like, don't worry, he's fine. He's just tied up in a closet somewhere. Even though earlier in the movie they established every time a Skrull replaces a person, they fucking kill them. And it's like, you know, turn my son's head away so he doesn't watch me murder these people, because now we're white hat good guys now. It's like the amount of whitewashing and trying to make these characters lovable in the last third of the movie is remarkable.
And how many spy and espionage thrillers over the years have we grown to love characters only to have that huge twist at the end where it turns out they were a bad guy the whole time? I'm just saying, they're going to do Secret Invasion. They've already set up the Skrulls. And even in the comics, they said with the whole secret invasion storyline there, they set that up for fucking years, I
This is the,
think.
I think if they do a Vince McMahon on this, it's going to be lame.
Yeah, and I'm as much as, and I do want to see this like a live action secret invasion. I would love to see this. My only problem is they should not be doing this should be set up as the end of like phase five. They should be setting up the secret invasion for like a couple Avengers movies from now. This is too big a thing to have set up like this and only do it on like an 8 or 10 episode streaming series.
Here's my hot take on the idea of Secret Invasion in the MCU. The MCU has made lots of creative liberties and choices that fly counter or even contradictory to how the 616 universe is, the comic book universe. I'm okay with a lot of that. That makes absolutely sense that you have to condense or change things or make things easier for a cinematic viewer. Some connections that run long in character. With characters with each other, you have to remove all together wholesale just to make a story coherent for a 2 hour movie. Totally understand that, totally on board. One of those decisions they made was the Skrulls are the good guys, the Skrulls are space refugees, the Skrulls are wacky and adorable. You can't just be like, well, I like this one comic book event, Secret Invasion, let's find a way to jam that square peg in the round hole.
No, that wasn't I like this comic book event. It was let's kick the dead horse. Kick. Did it drop something? What's this? Secret invasion.
Okay, you're right. You're right, but that's my point is the way they constructed the MCU now with how the Skrulls are now, Secret Invasion is very it doesn't fit. It is counterintuitive to try to adapt that. And the other thing I want to point out is there's like 60 years of comic book stories that they can adapt instead. And it feels like they're just trying to do stuff from the last 10 to 20 years instead. And I just be like,
You
mine
do know
deeper,
why
mine
they do
deeper.
that, though, right?
Because all the people in charge are young.
No, not. That's certainly part of it. That's not the only thing. The reason the. And this is like the plain, simple, really the only reason they adopt from like the last 10, like 10 to 20 years is those are the comics that are freshest in the minds of even the people who aren't like hardcore comic guys are just tangentially aware. This is the stuff that is more or less fresh in people's minds. The freshest. And Secret Invasion, like I said, maybe it'll work if they truncate it so much, they cut away a lot of the fat, but I think it would have worked better on the big screen. Conversely, I think, if Armor Wars actually happens with Don Cheadle back as Rhodey, I mean, sure, that is a straight up Tony Stark storyline, but Tony's dead now.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
fair.
it'll be interesting, and hopefully it'll be like a kind of a prat like CGI's in there certainly, but I'm hoping that if they do Armor Wars right, there'll be a wealth of practical special effects, like actual armored suits in some shots, models, puppetry, stuff like that, because I think that's a series that would benefit from some real craftsmanship in the production.
Don't know. I feel like again that with the way that they construct the universe now, it's a mistake to try to do Secret Invasion. Armor Wars could work. I kind of doubt it. I feel like it's gonna feel heavy. It's gonna feel like they're trying to jam too much in there, and I feel like is there official confirmation on Armor Wars? Or is this just another? This would be really
It's been
cool if.
confirmed.
Okay. Okay. Well, do we
It's
want.
going to be the premiere of Riri Williams.
Oh my God. Do we want to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special?
You don't want to see a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special directed by James Gunn?
It feels like a big joke. Like George Lucas made this thing called
it
the Star
is a
Wars.
Big joke.
And I feel like the premise itself is funny. Of hey, yeah, ha ha, we're doing what George Lucas did bad, but intentionally, and. I don't,
that's presuming that they're doing it intentionally bad, or maybe it's made with some honest and sincere effort because people loved Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ben, you're quoting this article that we all have in front of us.
Yes.
I will defend this article by saying, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a listing for how does the straight agenda ruin Avengers Endgame? This is not a fucking reputable site to fucking be quoting.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is a clickbait site.
All right.
They're probably going to do. I don't think they're going to copy the fucking Star Wars special. That was so fucking awful. I get where they were coming from. There used to be a fucking, what do you call it, a TV show. It was with, not the Brady's. Yeah, it was the Brady's, where they had a special like that, where they do little skits and shit like that. And it was supposed to be copying that, because it was popular. It was actually a popular fucking show, even though if you watch it, it looks like garbage. You talk to anybody in the 60s and you ask them, well, what was the Brady special show? And they'll be like, yeah, I watched it. I enjoyed it. But George Lucas is George Lucas, and he fucks up everything he touches.
And James Gunn is a legitimate dude who loves working on these movies, and I don't think he would intentionally make this bad just because he wants to emulate one of the worst pieces of television media ever. Plus, do you just not enjoy stuff that's fun, Ben? Like, does everything have to suck?
I just have a feeling that he's going to try to do a 30
Based
minute
on
long.
What?
It's a suspicion. It's a feeling. I can't substantiate why, but I'm just telling you that I have this feeling that that's what it's going to be if he gets to make it. We shall see.
I will say one of the things they announced, and yeah, it's the Verge.com article we're talking about, folks. But all this
I'm
stuff
reading
has
Variety. Been...
Variety.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought we were all looking at the same article that I posted there.
Well, big surprise that several sites have the exact same article. It's almost like they quote themselves.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So circular. One of the many things they announced at the Disney's Investors Conference of the third Ant-Man movie title, they couldn't just call it Ant-Man and the Wasp 2 or... Ant-Man and the Wasp 2, here we go again. I would have preferred that to Quantum Mania. I'm sorry. All parts of my brain are just know that it. That,
is it Ant-Man Quantum Mania or just Quantum Mania?
It's Ant-Man and the Wasp, : Quantum Mania.
Okay, whatever.
And the villain's Kang the Conqueror.
That's a mistake. I also just have to add that...
How do you introduce Kang Conqueror without Reed Richards?
Well, like Ben said earlier, how they've adapted stuff from the comics to fit within the confines of what they're trying to do with this Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's fairly easy to write about a time traveler from the future, who may or may not be related to the patriarch of the First Family.
He's literally said many times that he is a descendant of Reed Richards.
And even Kang doesn't know for certain.
No, they did a test.
Okay, that's the comics. They don't have to have Reed Richards be his ancestor. It's just like you can do Venom without having Spider-Man being involved.
Indiana?
And they did that.
Barely.
Indiana. Let it go.
No, I will not let it go. If you're going to make the argument, Red, that he has to be related to Reed Richards, I can make the argument that Venom doesn't have to have Spider-Man involved.
They just have like a
That's one thing and another thing.
It's the same idea.
Oh, fucking, I guess apples and oranges.
Exactly.
They're the fucking same thing.
I'm just saying, for all
no,
the
No, apples that... and oranges are the same thing, according to fucking JT. They're both round fucking fruits that grow on trees.
Well, technically they are. I'm just saying, in the Venom's origin, in the comics, in the animated series, a lot of them Spider-Man's involved. But with the movie, they created a semi-decent story that had Venom coming to Earth and having all the trimmings, and Spider-Man was nowhere near that. So who's to say they can't do that with Kang the Conqueror and Reed Richards?
That's
all I'm saying.
With the surface level pieces of the Jenga pile, it sort of is easy to move stuff around without toppling everything. But when you start going into the deep stuff, like Kang the Conqueror or you know, for instance, let's say Nihilus, it feels like your pile is stacked way different, and you can't move too many pieces way off, far off base, or else you lose the aesthetic. You lose the oomph of the character or the storyline.
My biggest fear about them introducing all these fucking villains, like grabbing a pile of villains and throwing them, is the MCU does something that Marvel Comics doesn't. They kill their fucking villains.
Absolutely.
Or they tease them and never do anything with them again, like the Mandarin. I'm just saying, I would have liked to have seen an on-screen Mandarin. Hell, I would have liked Ben Kingsley to actually be the Mandarin instead of that Iron Man 3 bullshit.
Yeah, that's ruined the fucking movie. Like, Ben Kingsley, if he was the Mandarin, that would have been the shit.
Yeah.
But no, they made him a joke, and they made...
Hello, fucking, I'm Trevor.
And then they...
made the fucking surfer boy the Mandarin.
And then they did this weird thing you can watch on the internet where they said there actually is a real Mandarin. Forget the whole thing about Surfer Boy talking about he's the real Mandarin. That doesn't exist anymore, because we were like, oh no, people actually want the Chinese guy with the Fu Manchu.
Okay, doesn't necessarily have to have the Fu Manchu, Ben, but you could certainly do the Mandarin. I mean, they did. Well, tease it with All Hail the King.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
The perfect guy to play the Mandarin is the guy who played Shang Tsung in fucking Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Kerry Tagawa.
Yeah.
Your brother's soul is mine.
Dude is to Shang Tsung as Kevin Conroy is to Batman. They brought him back like on three separate times he's played Shang Tsung and knocked it out of the park. The movie... they even brought him back for like the second season of that Mortal Kombat web series, and now he's doing like some mocap and the voice work for Shang Tsung in the current Mortal Kombat games.
Yes, and so is Christopher Lambert.
Lambert.
Yes.
And he really only did that for the DLC. And I guess for as far as big movies go,
me, Christopher Lambert. I've smoked an entire fucking carton of marbles every fucking day.
Yeah, and they have
the tournament has started.
Yeah, they have an official teaser for Fantastic Four because they're starting to work on that. Lord knows when that will ever actually happen. And then all that shit with how they're supposed to be bringing back like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and apparently the Sinister Six, if the rumors are to be believed.
They're always pushing the Sinister Six. It's because they have the copyright to it, and they're just Sinister Six, and they all whip out their dicks in the fucking office.
Oh, G-Red, thank you for letting me finish there before we got that image in our heads. No, I'm saying the way they're doing the Sinister Six is... rumored to be apparently now with them reportedly bringing back Maguire and Garfield, that the Sinister Six is going to be made up of the various Spider-Man villains from the various Spider-Man movie universes. Like, they're even talking about bringing back his name? No, well, Doc Ock and...
Electro?
Power Rangers Green Goblin. Rangers Green Goblin.
Formula.
Yeah. Number one, I just have to say, is if every rumor about this Spider-Man 3 is true, that they're bringing back Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Jamie Foxx, what's his name is Doc Ock, Willem Dafoe, you know, Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane Watson, and you're going to have a movie that's way too heavy. It's not going to happen, number one. It's not going to happen exactly the way we're hearing it, number one. Number two, this movie is going to be horrible.
It's not 2002 anymore. Gwen, fucking, what's her face?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst does not look the fucking same at all.
Fucking Tobey Maguire doesn't look the same at all either.
Tobey Maguire is an oddity. He looks the exact same age, whatever fucking age he is.
Tobey Maguire does indeed look the age that he is.
I still say they should have just brought Tobey Maguire back and play Uncle Ben.
You gonna cry?
What?
Yes. No.
I just think that this that the idea that they're doing this, and number one, I just want to say, I haven't heard any solid confirmations that they're actually doing this, but if they are, I think that Red is right, and this is a response to the fact that Spider-Verse worked.
Yes. Like, when Spider-Verse came out and it was in development, nobody gave a shit. Oh, it's an animated movie. Who gives a fucking shit? We're gonna work on the new Spider-Man. We're working with Disney. So you guys just do whatever you want. And they did whatever they want. And fucking, it made bank. It fucking, it was a box office blowout. Now they're like, oh, fuck, multiverse. Let's all whip out our dicks.
And again, I feel like Spider-Verse sounds like a busy movie because like you have like five different Spider-Men, dimensional travel, and seven or like five villains. But the truth of it is, if you nail Spider-Verse down, it is above everything else a Miles Morales origin story. And
you gotta bring back Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, and only
and the '90s Spider-Man.
Yeah, oh god. Shocker! I'll chase you to the ends of the earth!
Just because they might be doing a Spider-Verse with the live-action guys doesn't mean they're going to bring all of that back.
And there's even people there saying, oh, we think we saw, what's his name, talking to the crew. Nicholas Hammond, oh my god, maybe Nicholas Hammond's going to... I'm like, you fucking idiots.
Isn't Nicholas Hammond dead?
No, he's alive.
There you go.
I'm just saying that is like he's 70 years old. Number one, number two, that would be the stupidest thing ever. Is like, oh, we can bring back Nicholas Hammond, because this movie sounds like it's going to be cluttered. It's not even cluttered with like the regular MCU clutter that the later MCU movies have, but it's been cluttered with all this extra Spider-Man clutter.
Do you know who they have to bring back?
Oh my god,
Spider-Man. The Spider-Man? Japanese Spider-Man? He's still alive.
The Japanese actor, have him come back. What's the character's name? Like Tatsu or something like that?
Yeah. He looks fucking great for his age, man. He could be Spider-Man again. I saw him in that Marvel 616 documentary. Fuck, he's like 60 years old and he looks better than I do.
Yeah, Shinji Toto is the name of the actor. Oh, wow. He was in lots of the Super Sentai.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if they do some bring back, like, you know, it's supposed to be bring back Jamie Foxx, Elektra, and all that, I'm not against it until I actually see the movie. It sounds dumb, but a lot of movies that I've heard about, the plots sound dumb, and some of them I've ended up enjoying very much.
Just imagine, JT, how you'd squeal in happiness if you heard, come out, Leopardon!
Come, Leopardon!
Yeah, just remind me of where the French go to the theater that day.
When I hear about this this Spider-Man 3, I imagine a train wreck about to occur because they overfilled their cup. The cup overflows. There's too much. You need to empty your cup.
It sounds like an okay idea, but it's not going to be what people think. The other actors are going to be cameos. There's going to be one main villain, which is probably going to be Jamie Foxx. Because there's a thing called FaceTime. If you're on camera and you show your face for so many minutes, they have to pay you a certain amount of money. So that's why there's cameos. It's like, oh, he's on... You time it. He's been on the fucking screen for 2 minutes. And you do that, and you time every fucking cameo, and you get about 2 minutes. And they never go over 2 minutes.
And the other thing is, Jamie Foxx is still technically on a 3-movie contract with Sony for 2 more Spider-Man films. And this will very, very nicely eat up one of those appearances.
Well, he's supposed to do the Sinister Six, which never fucking happened.
Yeah, that's exactly why there's still 2 movies left on his contract. So, as I said, this will nicely eat up one of those 2.
I expect it to be probably just as good as Far From Home, which was not as good as the first one.
No, it wasn't.
And that's about it. Like, it's probably just going to be by the books, advertising the multiverse. They turned Spider-Man into Thor.
Yeah.
Your movie only exists to explain something else, some big bad.
For another Marvel movie.
Yeah, we have Loki. Loki's the bad guy. He's going to be the bad guy in the next adventure. Oh, we have this gem. Now I have all these gems. Let's explain them to you. They're the Infinity Gems.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean, is the Spider-Man movies are going to be overburdened with all the extra MCU stuff. Like, these aren't even movies that are like, oh, by the way, these take place in the MCU, but Peter Parker's in his own town in Queens doing his own stuff with his own villains. It's like, no, Spider-Man is in the MCU, and by the way, major MCU event is directly affecting him, and Tony Stark this, and Tony Stark that, and it's like, just let him breathe, just have a regular Spider-Man story without MCU's tendrils deep in the skin and infecting everything.
Like, one of the things that bugged me about that movie is I had so many people go, well, his spider sense was failing the whole time, and blah, blah. I'm like, no! Haven't you ever read a fucking Mysterio story? His fucking spider sense gets fucked up by Mysterio, and then he overcomes it. That happens in every fucking Mysterio story.
His Peter tingle?
Yes.
That is the dumbest idea the MCU has ever come up with.
But Aunt May didn't set it off. Aunt May never sets it off.
Because he trusts her.
Yeah.
She's not a danger to him. But, again, I feel like there's, with all that stuff, all the extra MCU stuff that's going to be in a Spider-Man movie produced, co-produced by Sony and Marvel, we're going to have that. We're going to also have all these member berries for the previous Spider-Man franchises.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be member berries. I think it's up and coming. New MCU franchises, have a look-see. That's what I think it's going to be.
But point remains is, do you have anything left to tell a Spider-Man story? Just a singular Spider-Man story.
There's thousands of fucking great Spider-Man stories.
Absolutely true. Totally true. But do they have enough that they can tell one with all this other stuff crap jammed in?
No. You'd have to have the Thor 3 moment where there's nothing to tell, nothing to advertise. You hire a fucking director that just goes wild with it and you have a good fucking movie.
But I feel like they're not going to do that because they know that Spider-Man is the biggest IP name that they have, other than X-Men, probably. Debatable, well, which X-Men, one's more.
No, X-Men at the moment is not the biggest IP. In the 90s, it was.
Okay, that's why I said debatable. But like I said, Spider-Man is the biggest IP name that Marvel has ever had, to this day still has. It's almost guaranteed that the people that people are going to go watch it anyways, no matter what's in the movie, and the two amazing Spider-Mans pretty much proved that. So I feel like they're like, well, we can just overload some more MCU stuff in here. Fill the cup some more.
To its credit, I kind of give The Amazing Spider-Man 2 a 6 out of 10. It's an okay movie. It has bad actors and a couple bad ideas, like a mechanical rhino and shit.
It's just really weird that you have an actor as talented as Paul Giovanni and you tell him, hey, act like a really weird Russian thug, even though you're like a 4'8" guy with a pot belly.
Because that's what Bendis turned him into in the Ultimate Universe, is a tiny little dude in a big suit. And, like, the worst idea of that fucking movie was Green Goblin. Like, making fucking that kid into fucking Beavis and Butthead and shit. You couldn't give him a fucking mask? Jesus Christ.
Hey,
If he wants to show
Beavis.
us, like, if you want to show him his fucking, if he wants to show his face and it's in the contract, do the Jim Carrey shit. And just fucking plaster a bunch of fucking plastic to his fucking face and still make it look like him.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's the majority of the Marvel announcement. There's a weird thing at the end of this list saying, oh, by the way, Moon Knight may be kind of sort of not going to happen.
The thing is, you need somebody who would know what to do with Moon Knight, and that's always been the problem with Moon Knight since the beginning. He has some good stories, as JT will no doubt point out, but they're always short-lived, and they're always retconned.
What do you think is the ideal Moon Knight? The guy who's a schizophrenic that literally has, like, a cab driver and
My ideal Moon Knight is not fucking around and do what his concept is supposed to be. The fucking Batman of MCU.
Marvel Batman.
Yeah, just don't fuck around. Just make him Batman.
You don't want the guy in the white suit, Mr. Knight?
No.
Make for an interesting visual.
What? No.
You could even use the alter, like, the cabbie and the...
That's what I was saying, the schizophrenic.
No. No alters. This is the fucking... Oh,
God, Hawk can I Man finish before you start telling me why my idea sucks?
Go ahead.
I say you use the cab driver and the millionaire, but not as alters because he's schizophrenic. He just has other identities he uses in his investigations. Okay. That's it. You don't make him a crazy man. He just has different identities. I mean, Batman has matches Malone. I mean, no one bitches about that.
Yeah.
Because no one wrote him as alters.
Like, if you want to make Moon Knight different from Batman, make him an average Joe. Make him a dude who puts on a fucking costume and fights crime. He's not rich like Batman, and he doesn't have a million fucking gadgets. He's just a dude who wants to help up, kind of fucking thing.
So
and then maybe after time he meets people that gives him gadgets and stuff like that. And
should there be Khonshu?
No
Khonshu.
In what respect, though?
Just any respect. Just any completely respect. Remove Khonshu.
And remove it. Like, this is the Hawkman thing. You have, he's from space, or he's from the fucking Egypt. Pick one. And I'm picking he's from fucking space for Moon Knight. I'm not, fuck all that Egypt shit.
Well, that's your opinion, and you're welcome to it. I think you could use the Egypt stuff pretty easily. If you don't make him crazy, just, you know, he's a mercenary. He dies before this statue. He wakes up. He decides to go off and become a vigilante. End of story. He doesn't have to talk to this invisible best friend that no one else can see. He doesn't have to get his start fighting the werewolf by night, which is how Moon Knight originally started by in the comics, by the way.
Him dying and starting to fight crime and shit like that. That's the Punisher.
So it's
that's
like,
literally Netflix's Punisher.
That's 90% of the Marvel Universe.
Like, you go with a Batman story. Somebody who experienced great fucking tragedy and cannot get over it. And the only way he can stop feeling fucking pain is to help others.
All right, so that's the last thing on this list. Moon Knight, which I doubt they're actually really going to do. I feel like this is the further down the list we got, the more of these became must-haves to would-be nices and in your dreams. So overall, I'm not seeing anything that makes me want to buy a Disney Plus subscription or anything that even makes me want to run to the theater. I feel like I'm not wowed. And I'm not excited. I'm not even going to go see Black Widow in the theater if it ever comes to a theater. JT, your thoughts?
I would like to see Black Widow in the theater. Yeah. I'm possibly not going to see him in the theater because Lord knows when the theaters are even going to be a thing again. Most of these shows, I'll check them out, give them the standard three-episode rule, bench test. Probably gonna skip Ironheart if I even watch the first episode. That'll be a minor goddamn miracle. And I truly do believe that the Guardian of the Galaxy holiday special will become one of my favorites because reasons. Red.
It's not a matter of whether I'm looking forward to any of these or not. It's, to me, they're bleh. There's nothing that sticks out, nothing that says, yeah, I want to watch that. Like, the only thing in the future prospect that makes me say, I want to fucking watch that, is the Fantastic Four. If they get that fucking right, it'll be the shit. It'll be the next Avengers.
It's the key to all this, if they can get it working.
Yes. But other than that, all these titles and movies, and I don't want to see it. Like the Black Widow movie, as you guys brought up, I don't even want to see it because she's dead.
Yeah.
Why do I want to watch a movie about something she did in the past? And I know exactly what the movie is going to be. It's the introduction of who's going to be the new Black Widow.
It's going to be her, quote, sister character, that's the blonde chick.
It's going to be Taskmaster. Because I'm 100% sure Taskmaster is her sister.
It's going to be a
chick. You do know when they set the film, though, right?
Yeah, the film is set before all this shit. I know that.
No, it's not. It's set after Civil War and before everything else.
That's what I said, before all this shit.
All you said was before this shit, Ben. You didn't specify.
Obviously, it was before the snap.
You guys are arguing over semantics.
Okay, anyways. And I also know what Marvel's doing, because they're obviously going to spread all these series out to start different months, because they don't want anyone... If they throw all these series on the same month, they're going to see a huge spike in subscriptions, and then a large, maybe not huge, but a large amount of unsubscriptions after the first month.
Like so, Mandalorian Season 1.
Yes, so that's what they're going to do. They're going to spread all these series out between several months, so anyone who wants to see them all will have to keep a start a subscription and keep it.
Yeah, they're going to do the same thing with the new Star Wars.
Yeah.
Shows that they announced, but that's another story.
Yes. So overall, that's our feelings on the Marvel Disney Plus announcements of this year. It's Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Redding.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
Blech.